Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today.
Hello, friend, and welcome to Hope for Today. My name is J. Mark Horst. I'm your friend and Bible teacher. The program you're listening to is produced by Heralds of Hope, an international gospel radio and literature ministry. Each week, the Bible teaching broadcasts of Heralds of Hope circle the globe in English and 15 other major languages. And our Bible teaching programs in English and numerous other languages are available to you all the time and anytime on the website twr360.org. That's twr360.org. When you get to that site, just type the words Hope for Today in the search bar, and you'll find the available teaching. Thousands are logging onto the site each month for spiritual nourishment and blessing. Last week on Hope for Today, we were studying from Luke chapter 22 and verses 24 to 38. Our study was titled, The Tyranny of Self. As we began examining this text, I said there are several characteristics of the tyranny of self. These characteristics show us the folly of trying to live for Jesus in the power of our flesh. And they also show us how to avoid that folly and the heartache that comes with it. The first characteristic we looked at was self-promotion. Jesus' disciples assumed that he was going to set up an earthly kingdom, and they were having an argument about who would be the greatest in that kingdom. We didn't get to finish looking at that characteristic, so we'll pick up our study where we left it during our previous time of teaching. As we begin, I will read the text, Luke chapter 22 and verses 24 to 38. Now there was also a dispute among them as to which of them should be considered the greatest. And he said to them, The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors. But not so among you. On the contrary, he who is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he who governs, as he who serves. For who is greater, he who sits at the table, or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table? Yet I am among you as the one who serves. But you are those who have continued with me in my trials, and I bestow upon you a kingdom, just as my Father bestowed one upon me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, that your faith should not fail, and when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. But he said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you, both to prison and to death. Then he said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny three times that you know me. And he said to them, When I sent you without money bag, knapsack, and sandals, did you lack anything? So they said, Nothing. Then he said to them, But now, he who has a money bag, let him take it, and likewise a knapsack. And he who has no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say to you that this which is written must still be accomplished in me. And he was numbered with the transgressors. For the things concerning me have an end. So they said, Lord, look, here are two swords. And he said to them, It is enough. Now you may struggle with this characteristic of self-promotion in different ways than I do. Perhaps for you it's not getting the position at work you think you deserve. Or maybe someone else gets the credit for your hard work. So you become surly and highly critical of your boss. Or maybe it's among your peers where you seek the leadership position. You and I have so much in common with the 12. So let's look at how Jesus responded to their dispute. Now, as a writer, Luke is less concerned with chronology than he is with message. So we're not really sure what triggered this dispute. But it could have been Jesus washing their feet prior to the Passover meal. If that's the case, then Jesus' actions support the words that he's about to speak. He began with their understanding of how a kingdom worked. He reminded them that the kings of the nations lord it over their subjects. Now, you know, even that very designation, subjects, indicates a lower stratum of existence. It sets others apart as lower than the ruling class. The king tells the people what they may do and may not do, and how they may do it and when they may do it. And as subjects, they obey. I understand from history the kings of Egypt and Syria during that time used this title of benefactor. And so it's probable that the 12 knew this. Benefactor means champion of the people. But in many cases, these rulers were ruthless tyrants. Their leadership was only a way to get what they wanted, a way to get other people to serve them. Isn't that what you and I often desire when we seek the highest position? We want other people to serve us, don't we? Jesus clearly stated, that's the way of the unbelievers. And he says very emphatically, but not so, you. In other words, my kingdom doesn't work that way. Instead, you should let the greater assume the condition of the younger. Because of his youth, he feels like he must stand back with sincere humility. And then Jesus said, let the one who is chief, the one who is governing, assume the position of those he serves. Can you imagine the difference in the church today if most pastors and leaders had this kind of attitude and practice to assume the position of those they serve? And Jesus goes on, for which is greater, the one who reclines at the table or the one who serves? Isn't it the one who is reclining at the table? This was a rhetorical question, and the 12 would have had no trouble answering it. Certainly, the one being served was of higher standing than the one doing the serving. But then Jesus upends that idea by stating, but I am among you, or I am surrounded by you, using the picture of their reclining at a U-shaped table that we've looked at before. Jesus said, I am among you, I am surrounded by you as one who serves. Jesus had previously made a circuit around that table, washing the feet of each disciple. He was certainly the greatest of them all by far. Yet he was the only one willing to act as a servant and perform that menial task. John's Gospel records Jesus' words to them following this act of service. He said, if I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. That's John 13:14-16. You know, I count it a privilege to be a part of a fellowship that includes this humble act of feet washing in the observance of the Lord's table. Jesus then went on to show the 12 the rewards of service. He was preparing them for a kingdom that was so much greater than what they could envision. You see, focusing on self makes one's world very, very small. Most of us have had the experience of being around persons who are shamelessly self-promoting, and it's neither pleasant nor appealing. Jesus wanted to enlarge their vision to a much greater and more glorious kingdom. So he said, you are those who have been continuing with me in my trials and testing. You have stood with me even when many others have turned away. His use of the word you is emphatic in contrast to those who turned away. And then he says, because of that, I, on my part, legally assign to you a kingdom just as my Father assigned a kingdom to me. And here again, the use of I on my part is emphatic to match their faithfulness. You have been faithful. I, on my part, will reward you. You held out, and now I appoint you a kingdom, just as my Father appointed a kingdom for me. Now, the reasons Jesus was assigning to them a kingdom are stated in verse 30. The purpose of this kingdom I'm giving you is so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and that you may sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. You will dine as kings, and you will rule as kings. In the Jewish mindset, this was the greatest honor God could bestow on anyone. To be a part of that heavenly banquet, and then to have rule and authority in that kingdom. So here were the disciples, envisioning an earthly kingdom and what their status would be in that kingdom. And they felt it was necessary to argue the case for their elevation to the top spot. But you know, even if they would have been given that place, it would only be temporary. Eventually, death or someone with greater power would take their position. But Jesus is offering them something eternal, something that will last forever. Do you see how small our ambitions truly are when we engage in self-promotion? Self is an oppressive ruler. It is small-minded. It's harsh. It's unjust. It ignores the feelings and the giftings of others. It puts them down in a vain attempt to elevate itself. I must ask you, can you see evidence of this in your life? Have you experienced its effects? Sadly, I have. But Jesus offers to you and me a better way. Not self-promotion, but servanthood. However, because selfishness is so deeply ingrained in our psyche, Jesus isn't finished with the subject. So let's move with him to the next characteristic of the tyranny of self. But that next characteristic will need to wait for the next broadcast of Hope for Today. Lord willing, we'll be back next week to continue this study. In the meantime, if you'd like to have an audio CD or a printed copy of this complete teaching, just write and request it by its title, The Tyranny of Self. The quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to mail@heraldsofhope.org. That email address again is mail@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this teaching, The Tyranny of Self. Once again, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to this address, mail@heraldsofhope.org. Or write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And request your free copy of this teaching, The Tyranny of Self. It's available either in print or on an audio CD. And don't forget, our Bible teaching programs are available to you all the time and anytime at the website, twr360.org. That's twr360.org. Just type Hope for Today in the search bar, and you'll find the available teaching. Thousands are logging onto the site each month for spiritual nourishment and blessing. You can join them and be blessed, too. Now, friend, I urge you to tune in next week as we continue our study, The Tyranny of Self. And until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.